Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU's Women's Initiative. I am Rebecca Belazon, and today we are learning Shoftim Perek Yud Zayin. And with this parak, we will begin the story of Pesel Micha. And most Meforshim contends that this story of Pesel Micha and the story that follows, the story of Pilegish Begiva, really happened towards the beginning of Sefer Shoftim. But perhaps the Navi puts it at the end of the Sefer because first it tells us of the nations who oppressed Bnei Yisrael, and then it switches to another storyline, a storyline surrounding the problems that exist within the Jewish people. And the Das Mikra explains that at first the Sefer tells us that Bnei Yisrael did not properly conquer Eretz Yisrael. We did not drive out the Canaanite nations, and as a result, they caused us to do Avodah Zarah, and thus Bnei Yisrael were oppressed by the hands of their enemies. In the end of the Sefer, we are shown the extent in which the nations corrupted and influenced Bnei Yisrael, leading us to averos, to terrible sins, and to moral corruption. All of this was a result of the environmental influence, which could have been avoided had we followed God's mandate and driven out those nations from before us. Pasuk Aleph begins, "There was a man from Har Ephraim, and Michayahu was his name. And at first he was a righteous person. He had the name of God within his name. But after he worshipped Avodah Zarah, after he served idols, he is simply called Micha without Hashem's name, as we will see in the parak." And the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that even though Micha caused other people to worship Avodah Zarah, he was still allowed into Olam Haba, he was still allowed into the world to come because his bread was available for travelers, meaning he did the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim, his house was open to those who passed through, and therefore he was still allowed to come into the world to come, a concept and idea that we will see will be contrasted in the story that follows, the story of Pilegish Begiva. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that he was called Micha because he was crushed, nitmachmech, into the bricks in Mitzrayim. You see, when Bnei Yisrael did not fulfill the job, they did not fulfill the quota of the Egyptian that the Egyptians placed upon them, they were forced to use their children as bricks. And Moshe turns to Hashem and he says, "Hashem, why are you doing this to your children?" And Hashem responds that, "Moshe, really the Egyptians are merely getting rid of thorns," meaning they are taking out people from the nation who will eventually be sinners. And Hashem allowed Moshe to remove one of these children to see, and this child grows up to become none other than Micha that we will see in our story. And Micha says to his mother, "The 1,100 pieces of silver that were taken from you and about which you have cursed in my ears," he said, "I took them." And his mother said, "Blessed be my son," to Hashem, meaning since you admitted it, you should not be cursed, but rather you should be blessed. And Micha restores the 1,100 pieces of silver to his mother. And his mother said, "I have dedicated the silver before the Lord for my son to make a pesel umasecha, a graven image and a molten one. And now I will restore it to you." Pasuk Dalet, and he restored the money to his mother, meaning Micha gives the money back to his mother, and his mother took 200 pieces of silver and gave them to the founder, the one who would make the images, and he made out of the silver an image and a molten one, and it was in the house of Michayahu. Rashi, the Radak, and the Malbim, and many of the Farshim explain that at first Micha was actually against the Avodah Zarah. He was righteous, but eventually he was influenced to worship the Avodah Zarah. So at first there's this back and forth between him and his mother about the money because Micha doesn't want to be the one to form the Avodah Zarah. In fact, the Malbim tells us that we see that Micha did have some success on his mother because originally she wanted to dedicate 1,100 pieces of silver, but now in the end she only uses 200 pieces. But Micha allows her to keep the Avodah Zarah in his house, and the influence unfortunately continues. The second approach is that of the Metzudah and that of the Rabag. This was not really complete Avodah Zarah, but it was really additional things to their service of God, to bring down powers and to be some sort of intermediary. Perhaps it would help them tell the future because it maybe would arouse their imagination. And we could see this by the fact that there's no specific mention of a specific Avodah Zarah, but rather she says, "I'm going to set aside silver for God." And according to this approach, Micha gave his mother back the silver because it was her vow to fulfill. And in this opinion, the reason she did not spend all 1,100 silver pieces was that the first 200 was for the image, and the rest of the silver was used as accessories to make or to buy accessories for this this thing that they made. Pasuk Hey. Now the man Micha, note he is no longer called Michayahu. He had a base Elohim. And he made an ephod and teraphim and initiated one of his sons who became his priest. And if you want to know why such a thing is happening, Pasuk Vav continues and tells us, Bayamim ha'heim, ein melech b'Yisrael, ish hayashar be'einav ya'aseh. In those days, there was no king. There was no leader. There was no person to set things right or to let them know how to act or what is proper and what is improper. And therefore, each person did what he saw fitting in his own eyes. And there was a nar, a lad from Beis Lechem Yehuda, from the family of Yehuda. He was a Levi, and he lived there. According to Radak, he left the Levite cities to look for sustenance. And the man went out of the city, out of Beit Lechem in Yehuda, to sojourn where he would find a place, possibly to sustain himself. And he came to the mountain of Ephraim, to the house of Micha, while continuing to make his way. Pasuk Tet, and Micha says to him, "For where do you come?" And he says, "Levi Anochi, I am a Levite from Beit Lechem Yehuda." According to the Metzudah, what is he saying? He's saying, "I'm a Levi," meaning I can teach, I can instruct. He's marketing his skills because what is he doing? He's looking for a place to learn livelihood. He's looking for a job. And Micha said to him, "So dwell with me and be for me an instructor and a priest. And I will give you 10 pieces of silver a year and a wardrobe of clothing, and all your provisions will be taken care of." And the Levite went. Pasuk Yud Aleph, and the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the Nar was like one of his sons. Now, according to the Malbim, initially this man from Levi went, meaning he didn't want to hire himself out as a Kohen for Avodah Zarah, and so therefore he left. And then Micha persuaded him, and he said, "Listen, just stay. Don't have to be a Kohen, but stay in my house for some time. You need a place to take a break from your long trip. You need to catch up. You'll have some food. You'll have shelter. So just stay here for a little while." And what happens? He ends up staying in the house. He becomes like one of this man's children. He eats from his table. And then, because he stayed in this house, he eventually becomes influenced by the wicked and he is drawn after him. And this really seems to follow the same pattern as we saw initially with Micha. Originally, Micha did not want to be part of the idolatry, but with time, he was influenced. He allowed his mother to keep the Avodah Zarah in his house, and eventually he ends up not only serving the Avodah Zarah, but initiating his own son to be a Kohen, to be a priest for this Avodah Zarah. We really could see how strong the influence of an environment can have upon a person. But this concept really fits into the larger story that we see here in Sefer Shoftim. Because Bnei Yisrael did not get rid of the Canaanite nations, because we did not eradicate these people who acted in inappropriate ways and had the wrong values, then what ends up happening? They end up influencing and corrupting us. And so Pasuk Yud Beis continues, and Micha initiated the Levi, and the lad became his priest and was in the house of Micha. And Micha said, "Now I know that the Lord will be good to me because I had a Levite as my priest." Now, according to the Radak, Micha thinks it's a good sign that he has someone from Shevet Levi, the tribe of the priests, to serve as his Kohen, to serve as his priest. And it really seems silly and actually a bit twisted that something seemingly right, the fact that he has this Kohen from Shevet Levi, and something so wrong in the service of Avodah Zarah, gives Micha the validation to the extent that he thinks that actually Hashem will do good for him because of this. Now, the other opinion is that this was a place to serve Avodah Zarah and to serve God, or to use the Avodah Zarah as a means, as an intermediary to serve God. And therefore, Micha felt that it was proper and appropriate to have a Kohen from Shevet Levi, to have the priest from the tribe which serves as priests. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmas Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.